We'll call the Board of Trustees meeting to order. And the first item is the adoption amendment to the agenda. We do have a couple issues here to change.
We would like to add appointment to Personnel Committee and Personnel Chair into new business after the policy updates. And move Board Open Forum before the labor negotiations discussion so that we don't have to worry about splitting the recording.
Okay.
Okay. With those changes, any other changes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda with those changes as noted.
Moved.
By Mary, second by Ed. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next item is the approval of the minutes of the January 15th Board meeting. Any questions, concerns, corrections? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, hold on.
No.
She's moved approval.
Okay.
Second.
And second by Dan. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Open forum? I see nobody here for open forum. So we'll move on to number five, financials. Bills, the email, and the ones on the table. Any questions?
With the financials.
Motion by Jeff, second by?
Second.
Wayne? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify saying aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. 5.2, financial reports, which were emailed.
Move.
Dave?
I'll second.
Second by Jane. Okay, discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? She carried. Thank you. Item six, consent agenda. Minnesota Public Library report.
In the packet is the signature page. Patty has the full report. We chose not to make 15 copies of it. So if you'd like to see it, you certainly can.
Is there an executive summary?
No. Basically, it's the statistics for each library for last year. So I guess the impact report in last month's packet would
like
have been
the circulation.
Right, the circulation. And then you also, later on the agenda, we do have the annual report, which would, I guess, be effectively the same thing.
Executive summary.
Right.
Need to approve or?
We need it approved. It is required to be submitted to the state
correct.
Annually.
I'll do that.
Okay, motion by Mary. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Jeff.
I'm trying to figure out if we should have Dave read it and report at the next meeting or not, but we'll pass maybe on that.
Okay, any further discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think I'm going to move next time.
You're about as far away from Jeff as you can get.
Why Dave?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll tell you after the meeting, Wayne, we'll tell you.
Okay. He bought that program hooked on phonics or something. Okay, anyway, further discussion?
Coming back, Jeff.
Hearing none, all those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? She carried. 6.2, other? Anything other? Nope. Okay. Let's move on to communications. 7.1, Minnesota Library Association Information Technology Educators of Minnesota Legislative Platform.
So on page 13 of your packet is the platform. I did include some updates on legislative activity in my executive report also. Regional Library Basic System Support and Regional Library Telecommunications Aid have been put together in one bill. It is House File 1282 and Senate File 1704. And on the table in front of you, there are some handouts that are left from Legislative Day if you want a little summary. There's a map on one side, and if you flip it over, it's actually got more detail about the bills available to you. I think Fran's got one there. That one's the legacy one, and then the other colored one. There's a red one, that's RLBSS, and the green one is legacy. So House File 1282, Senate File 1704, each had a hearing in the education committees in the House and the Senate. So we are waiting to hear more on that. There were some hard conversations in the Senate discussion about whether $4 million was needed and what whether it would work at $1 million. So, and some of that was happened in the committee itself, and some of that happened offline. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to develop once they get to conference committee. If the formula shift comes in at $1.3 million, Great River would effectively have flat funding from one formula to the next. But even though there's more going into the total formula because it shifts those formula factors, but we would also still get the earlier calculation date and it shifts it into the base, so that total amount wouldn't fluctuate any longer over time. So we'll keep a close eye on that and keep you updated if we need anyone to rally the cry if something goes horribly wrong. With the RLTA change, they are proposing the same amount, but they are asking for a more flexible definition on how to use the funds if all of the regional library systems have their telecommunications aid needs met. So basic telecommunications aid goes for the servers to run our wireless and the network connectivity to run our library computers. With a more flexible definition on the category two and beyond, it would allow us to shift some of those state dollars into projects like the Sartell lockers, which is all local dollars for that telecommunications line. So it would, and maybe even do projects like circulate Wi-Fi hotspots. So we're hopeful that those two being packaged together means it will continue to move forward. But it is in the education bill, so it's got a lot of competition when it gets down to the bottom line. I did not grab the House File, Senate File number for the grant aid pool for library media specialists, but there is an active bill on that subject as well. And the library legacy bill is Senate File 2210, House File 1975. I'll be going down to the Capitol to testify on April 3rd for the Senate bill. And that would be to continue our appropriation at the same dollar amount.
Senate file number again.
Senate file 2210, and I believe it's House File 1975. It's also in my executive report. I should also give a shout out for the RLBSS RLTA bill. Ron Crescia, Representative Crescia, Representative Poston, and Representative Tice have all signed on to that bill in the House. For the legacy bill from our area in the House, Representative Erdahl was an author, and Senator Howell was our sponsor in this, our chief author in the Senate. So if you see them, be sure to extend our thanks for supporting libraries at the Capitol. So that's the big issues on the platform that would affect Great River directly.
Okay. Anybody can look up those file numbers and respond accordingly. Next item, Citizens Tribune Library Committee Meeting article.
We've been doing community meetings all over the region, and the Citizen Tribune actually had reporters at the meeting in Clearwater and did a nice article on it, so I thought you all would want to see that. It was a very good discussion and probably one of our better attended community meetings.
And they braved sub-zero temperatures to do this.
It was the day after the polar vortex, so it was still coming off of the really cold day. It was that Thursday.
Good article. It also could double as an eye test.
Yeah. Yeah. I could not get it bigger all on one page.
Me too. Jeez.
What do you feed that side of the table? Are they off their meds, or?
He's eating fiber. Well, now. Normally when we go off our meds, we shake, so I think we're doing okay.
Okay, moving on, 2018 annual report.
Just came hot off the press. If you recall, last year we went from a big booklet to a four-page newsletter, and we repeated that effort again this year. A lot of the statistics you saw in the impact report last month. And this will be mailed to county boards, donors, and other key stakeholders. I don't know that it's all donors, though. I think Breanne said we were gonna send it to, like, the major giving levels that the Fund Development Committee set up, so.
Thanks for going to read. Okay, anything else on that? Okay, item eight, presentation, Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange.
So I'd like to introduce Mary Jordan. I think some of you know her from your work on the CMLE board, and I want to give her extra kudos because I failed to send her anything about the agenda time or anything like that other than the date about 3 weeks ago. So the fact that she's here to give us a presentation is nothing short of her detailed due diligence. Aaron, can you pass the mic down, please? Thanks, Mary.
Such a nice young man.
Thanks. He is. Congratulations, Aaron. So, hi, I'm Mary Jordan, and I'm the Executive Director of the Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange. So we are a multi-type library system, and several of you are on our board, have been on our board in the past. Hello to everyone. And so what we are, we're not a public library. We're a very different kind of organization. We work with all the libraries across 12 counties of Central Minnesota. So we actually just finished building a new member database. So we have over 300 institutional members. Great River is one of those institutional members, but we also serve and work with every school across 12 counties, every academic college, tech college, any kind of higher education across these counties. Also, every kind of special library, so like Stearns History Center is one of our members, the Military Museum is one of our members, Centa Care Hospital, the prison here, all of these are our members. So we serve a very diverse range of libraries and organizations, and it's very exciting. It's really interesting to see all of the different ways that library people work together. So, of course, our partnership with Great River has been, I mean, just fantastic for us. I was just checking out yet another book. Thank you to your ILL staff. I mean, I don't want to brag and say I'm your best member here who checks books out, but if there's a list, I'm on it, I'm sure. And the staff at Great River have just been fantastic for us. So I'm going to talk about a few things that we do to try and reach out to help our community, to help train our community, connect with them, and make them feel like part of the community. But Great River staff have been such a part of that. It's just been wonderful. So one of our big hallmark programs is we do podcasts. So we have created three different podcasts. One of them is called Linking Our Libraries, and that's kind of a library training podcast. We're going to start offering those specifically to school library staff who need to have continuing education credits. We'll have special bonus material with that, but it's for anybody. Anybody can tune in and listen. Karen has been on episodes of that. Aaron has been on an episode. Yes, he was glorious. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Karen was glorious too. I don't mean to diminish.
Yeah. You can't top Aaron.
So that was our original podcast, and several people said, oh, you know, all that stuff you talk about library training, that's great, but we really like the end where you talk about the books that you're reading. And I said, oh, okay. So now we started a second book group podcast. So because a lot of people would like to be in a book group, but you're busy, you know, you can't always get places. So now that's called Reading with Libraries. Every week we talk about a different genre. This current week we are talking about literary mysteries with a woman, Leia, from the State Library Services. But I bet more than half of our episodes of that have been Great River Library members coming over and recording with us and talking about their favorite genre. This season we've had Great River staff who've come to talk with us about cookbooks. That was a hard one to record because she brought all the cookbooks, and you can hear us flipping the pages, and I was hungry. We had a staff member who came and talked about weather. I did not know where that was going to go, but it was great. It was really interesting, so tune into that one. We've had staff members from here talk about women in science fiction. That was 2 weeks ago, and very appropriate here for Women's History Month. And it's just, it's been wonderful to be part of that. Now, of course, you may not even have 30 minutes to tune into a podcast to talk about books. And we want to make sure, though, that there's a lot of material that we can be sharing, not only with our members, but our members could share with their community if they wish to. So we've started a third podcast called Book Bites. So that is 5 minutes or less. People come in and they talk about a book that they've been reading, something that they've been enjoying. That's the one that, I don't know if you've heard it yet or already, but Lee has recorded two of these for us, and he was fabulous. Lee, your podcasts are some of our most listened to episodes, so thank you, and when are you going to come back?
Must be my humility.
I'm sure.
We're very comfortable with whatever it was that you did that made it so, so fabulous. So Mary hasn't recorded with us yet, but she's toured it, and that's good too. So if you have books to suggest, that would be great. If any of you would like to come and be part of the podcast, our office is just over the river. We're next door to Target, across from Val's. I think I'm pointing in the right direction. I don't know. All right. Well, check your Google Maps before you get in the car. But we would be very happy to have any and all of you to come over and just record for us. It was pretty painless.
Yeah, I'll brag a little bit. One book was titled Walking Point, and it's the experience of a Vietnam-era soldier, and I'm not a book reader. It's crazy I'm even on this board. But the author was Bob Kunkel, who ran our jail for many years, and he was wounded 4 times in Vietnam, and I knew him since I was a kid, and the opening page, he apologizes for writing the book in the language that they spoke. Well, you can imagine the rest, but yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't know he did all that stuff.
It was very good, and like I said, these have been really well received because everybody wants to hear about this.
Grapes of Wrath is written in 1939 by John Steinbeck, and if you want to have a better understanding of current-day immigration, it's about the Okies migrating to California in the Great Depression. And boy, everything that is experienced in the book is the stuff you hear about now.
All right, so now you're primed and ready, right? Everybody's going to tune in. These are all up on our website, and we would be happy for you to listen at any time.
But I'm not a reader, you know?
He does actually say that on the podcast also. That was a disclaimer given.
Dave, you were right.
Off your meds.
Damn meds.
And then, Lee, can you tell us about War and Peace? The short story.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So tune into the podcast. Clearly, it's an event. So this is something that we do as part of our mission to provide training and material to all of our members. So Great River is wonderful. I mean, this is a wonderful library. There's no question. In fact, when I came and interviewed for my job that night after the interview, I came here to the library because I said, I can't take this job unless the library is good. And I walked around your library here and I said, oh yeah, I hope they offer me the job. So you guys are great. You've got things in hand. Things are good here. But you are very much not typical of our members. So most of our members are in school libraries, more than 200 of them. And they are mostly alone, or possibly they have like 1 5-hour, 10-hour staff member with them. Most of them have, I mean, not only no library degree, but no library training at all. And so not their fault in any way. They just don't know what it is that they're supposed to be doing. They don't know what it is that they don't know. And so that's where we come in, and we're trying to help out with that. So one of the ways that we're doing that is, well, podcasts. We are also providing member events so that they can get together and meet each other in person. So far this year, we have taken members to dinner at Old Chicago. Let's see, we held a virtual legislative day event so that people could come to us if they couldn't make it over to St. Paul. We also put out a special podcast about Legislative Day, giving everyone the issues. We have set up in May, if you haven't yet RSVP'd, might check into it. We're taking members back to the Mad Hatter Tea House in Anoka Ramsey. That was really popular last year. Several Great River staffers came, and they really enjoyed. You get to meet people from all kinds of different libraries. And then this is our first time doing this. I'm a little nervous about it, but I think it's going to be fun. The last weekend in June, we have a campground, a group campground reserved at Lake Moriah State Park. And our members will be invited to come camp with us. And if they are not campers, they will be invited to come down on Saturday and have library discussion, book discussion, the opportunity to kind of meet with people that they wouldn't normally see in a little bit sort of more flexible environment. So I don't know. I've already heard from a few people that they say they're coming. I'm excited. I'm a camper. So if anybody's down at Lake Moriah, June 28th through the 30th, I'll be there. So we also, of course, try to provide financial support to members. So one of my priorities was to increase that. When I started at CMLE, our budget for scholarships was about $1,200 a year, I believe. So we added in the idea of scholarships and then also mini grants. So members can apply for up to $300 in a scholarship to go to a conference, to go to a webinar, something like that. Or they can have a mini grant that would let them bring in a speaker or buy some materials for their makerspace, for things that they might need to do. This year, our budget for last year we budgeted $5,000 for that. We didn't spend, I think we spent about $4,500 in the end. This year, again, we budgeted $5,000 for that. And just as a little foreshadowing to people attending the CMLE board meeting next Wednesday, we have overspent that. I am so proud. I have never been so proud to spend this much money. Our members are really understanding the value that we can provide to them. So for example, Talahi School here in town, we have provided several scholarships and mini grants to them to help them build different tech programs and STEM things and to send their people different places. It's just great what our members have been able to do. They just need a little help. They just need a little, you know, encouragement, and that's what we do. We are also developing a policy template for our school libraries. So that's something we've been kind of working on slowly, but most of our school libraries, again, they don't know about the policies that a library would have. So you have, at your library here, have policies for collection development, for weeding, for personnel issues, for all kinds of things. Most of my board, or most of my school members, they have nothing, and they just don't know what they need. So they call and ask questions, which is great. That's what I'm there for. They call and they ask me if I'll go to meetings with their principals. Again, great. I'm there for it. But it would just be easier if they had policies of their own. So we're working through that for them. We also provide a lot of programming and display ideas. So every week we have what we call a book bouquet. I was feeling very alliterative when I came up with some of these titles. So every week is a little bouquet of books and that on a different topic. So this week's book bouquet is on the periodic table, which turns 150. Very exciting. But we have book suggestions that any library, not just schools, but anybody could use to build displays. That way, it's hard to do displays. I mean, these guys have done displays. It's a lot of work to think of a new topic, to find new books. So we try to take some of that out of, we take the hard part out of it. We also had a weekly column of program ideas. And again, we had programs that could be adapted into any library, not just the schools, not just a public, but anybody. So all of that is available to, well, all of our members, but really any library on our website. We do a lot of in-person visits because I found that some of our small libraries especially, they're kind of scared when I call and say, I want to come to your library, because they think, well, they don't really know what we do for them yet, and they think that we're there to, like, audit or make scary judgment. And I really try to explain, oh, no, I'm here to ooh and ah over everything that you're doing. Doesn't matter what the library is, there's always something great that everyone is doing. And so we talk about those. We write those up. We take pictures. All of that goes onto our website. Those are very popular. The reports that our members write about their scholarships and their mini grants, those are very popular. Because again, we want to build community. We want to share ideas. We have a weekly newsletter that comes out every Friday. So if you are interested in getting some library-related mail, please either sign up or send me an email, and I will be happy to get you signed up. You can do it right on our website. It says, subscribe to us at the top of the page. It's kind of hard to miss. We are also across all social media. We've been very active in trying to keep connected with people that way, share information, share ideas, reach out to people. I was really excited last week. One of your staff members gave us a book bite about a book, Jeeves and the King of Clubs. And we mentioned it, and the author in the UK saw us mentioning it on Twitter. And we had a very nice conversation back and forth. I was so excited. He seemed very pleased too. But we also trying to do, so my background before I came here, I was a library science professor teaching master's degree students. I still do that in my evening off hours, but I'm interested in research and how we can work to make the profession better, because I love it here in this wonderful profession, but you know, we can always figure out what we can do to make it better. So I do try to do quite a bit of research around the profession. Tomorrow, we are going to the LibTech conference, and we're not presenting research, but we're talking about podcasting and how to podcast, and we are partnering with staffers from Minitex who are going to talk with us about, or talk with the community about videos. So my audience hopefully will not react that way. Instead, they'll be super excited to hear from us all. So for a very small organization, I'm the only full-time staff member. My colleague Angie is part-time, and then we have a contract employee who also is one of your employees. So thank you for her. And that's it. That's all that we have to make all of this happen. So I love it. I love this opportunity to work with the libraries. And I mean, this opportunity to be working with Great River is just, it's wonderful. So thank you very much. And I'm sorry, I've kind of talked on and on here, but does anybody have questions?
Are you just a touch bit excited about your position?
I'm kind of an excitable, positive person.
So, Dave?
She's doing a great job. So.
I appreciate the feedback, Dave. I'm married to a Dave, so I know how you guys are. It's good. Go. I appreciate it.
On Dave, by the way.
Dave. Periodic tables of the elements. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn it. I don't know how I do that.
I can recommend some good podcasts that have been talking about the periodic table of elements, the 150-year celebrations that they're having around the world. STEM. Very exciting.
Why, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity. If you ever have any questions or want to talk more about libraries of any type, I would very clearly love to talk with you about it. So thank you very much. And everybody who's coming next Wednesday, I'll look forward to seeing you then. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. Yep. Thanks. Hey, any other Sunder presentations?
Thank you, Mary. And sorry, I forgot to tell you about what time. So thank you again for showing up.
Publicly shame her.
I apologize. I've got to get to the dealership to get my car back before they close.
All right. Good luck with that.
See you.
Okay, staff reports, executive director's report.
All right. Then you have to be as excited as she was.
Her job is much different from mine. I try to be excited, but I've been going since this morning because I was visiting Benton County first thing.
The caffeine's wearing off.
Yeah. But they were very nice. Let me see here. Since we already talked about the legislative activity, I visited with Randy about his meeting with the mayor. You should know that they ended up scheduling twice. The first time the mayor had to reschedule because he had to be down at the Capitol. So they met on the 8th, and it sounds like it was a cordial conversation, and he said he would fill us all in when he gets back. So in terms of the AMHS, it's currently not working, and we're working with the city on trying to get the bill from the belt paid still. And then I met with the treasurer from the city of Rice this afternoon, and they were asking about how the Sartell locker worked. And once they saw the price tag, they weren't so sure that they would want to go down that path at any near future date. But I will be going out to their city council to present on April 15th and just talk about the services that are available from the region, even though they don't have a library, and see where the conversation goes from there.
So I think there's a service club that's based in Rice. Might want to check on that. That'd be a good project for them.
It's interesting because they do have a fairly nice city council building. It's not open a whole lot, but it was built in the early 90s, and I know they're having some issues with outgrowing it for the police department, but they did offer the space for programming if we would ever want to do something there. So I just started an email conversation with Terry.
Plant the seed. Find out. And then there's a Bremer branch there. Right. Maybe Bremer would be like.
Oh, interesting.
And they have a lot of open space at the Bremer because they've moved a lot of people out of there.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, we can see.
The city building in Rice is open 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rice has always been kind of on the radar, but no one's ever approached us before from that community saying, hey, we want to do something about it. So you gave us a heads up. It did happen.
Well, with the former mayor, you could have just taken him to happy hour and he'd have bit on that really hard.
Hey, he was only a two-dayer.
Goodness for happy hour.
I did want to also invite the board, if you're so inclined. We do have two big staff trainings coming up. April 2nd, we're doing organizational orientation, which we do twice a year. And if you wanted to come and sit through it, it is pretty much an all-day affair with all of the new staff. And we go over what each department does in detail. So if you're interested in knowing more about that, we'd be happy to have you as part of that day. We just would need to know ahead of time so that we can make sure that we have enough refreshments for everyone. And then all staff day will be on April 29th. We will be closing the library. And part of that training will be from the Library Services and Technology Act grant that we received with the implicit bias training coming from Cultural Fluency Associates, which is the same outfit that presented at the diversity conference last year for the St. Cloud Chamber. So if you are interested in coming to either of those, please let me or Patty or Julie know so that we can include you in the count.
Is that all?
Yep.
Hey, Brandy. Management reports.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I think I have a question. Can we go back to this facility?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any positive vibes or solution? And did the mayor know about?
It didn't sound like the mayor knew a lot about what was going on with the lease discussions. So I did send an email to the city administrator at Randy's direction based on his conversation last week saying our understandings we're working under the current lease agreement until we have a new lease agreement. And we are also under the understanding that the conversation will happen more quickly. And I did get a response back asking for dates to meet. I sent some dates and I haven't heard back. So it's there's not a lot new other than that the conversation happened. I'm sure Randy would be happy to share more detail when he's here.
Yeah. And didn't we have a leaky window or something? Did the city fix that?
The window has not been fixed. It only leaks when it's raining.
Of course.
Oh boy, and the wind's coming from a certain direction. Oh, it's not pouring in.
Guatemalan response.
Damaging any material, is it?
No, it's actually part of the spine in the second story. So if you go up there, there's the stairwell, and then if you look right up, there's a peak, mm-hmm. and it's one of the windows in that spine. So it's hard to get at. The city did mention that they're thinking about putting solar on the roof, too, but I haven't heard anything more about how that's...
Yeah, they've done that with some municipal buildings.
So it's possible that that will happen this year as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Brandy, you have the floor.
It's been a really busy couple months. Policies and strategic plan, public services team, innovation fund, winter reading program. I could bore you all at length, so it would be helpful if anyone has any specific questions about anything.
Just the winter reading program, it's looking like it went really well.
People loved the Yeti theme, and we also had some really great social media that went out, and so kudos to Karen and some of the other staff who had their picture up with the social media wearing the beanies or using the cup or different things like that. I think it really generated a lot of interest and a lot of fun. That was very cool. And then the other thing, just a shout out, last year the board approved funds for our innovation fund, and we have our first innovation fund project, which is Beanstack, which is a online app and computer program that people can use to track reading, get reading recommendations and things like that. I've just started working with a small team to get it implemented up off the ground, so I don't know too many details yet beyond, you know, the pretty marketing scripts, but it does look really, really interesting, and I think our patrons will like it a lot.
Sure. This for Brandy. Is that going to be available at all locations?
Yes, it's online, and so
through
an app. And so, yeah, but it also seems to have a way to really integrate well both the digital level and then also locally, to where, like, if I'm a reader and I'm doing a program, I can get badges and things like that and track my reading. But then if it's also incorporated with, say, the winter reading program or something like that, I can identify that I am a patron of Cold Spring Library, and after I get so many badges or whatever reading incentives, that now I'm eligible for a drawing, and then I can go to that library to actually get my prize there, so that it incorporates both that digital and that physical element that we think will be popular.
Thank you.
Brandy, is there one person that came up with that Get Yeti to Read theme, or was it all of you together? Or
we have this amazing team called Think Tank that Ryan and Beth co-chair, and we have some incredibly creative professional staff. I don't know if that was Connie Lang's, but I want to say she comes up with great names for things. But that whole team is amazing, just idea makers, and they get a lot of stuff going. And so, yeah, it the genesis came from that team. Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, and it's a fun, fun team. Yeah.
A lively imagination.
Yeah, a lot of really committed staff who are really creative and really devoted to making good services.
I just want to say it was cute, catchy, and people, it resonated with them. They just, they got excited about it. That was pretty neat.
What's next? Wow.
It's going to be hard to top that one.
That it will be.
Okay. Any questions for Brandy? Moving on to Aaron. Do you want to say anything? Thank you, Aaron. That was really nice.
Great report. Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
They're tough today. They're
tough crowd.
I just have to find mine.
There it is.
Well, you are doing something upstairs. That's probably worth mentioning.
Oh, yeah.
We have our annual audit going on upstairs. This is day two, and they are going to be here through tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to be here all day, but so far things are going really well. They seem to have more questions than they did last year, and so I guess that's good. Maybe they're digging in a little deeper.
Who does the audit?
It's Bergen KDV.
Yeah. Drives us nuts when the county gets audited by the state, as our staff. If they were dressed appropriately for the audit, they'd bring their track shoes when they come in. They get ordered to get this, ordered to get that, ordered to get that. Yeah, and the guy just sits there. I guess maybe he doesn't know where stuff is.
That's kind of how it works here, too. They come down, ask me things, and need us to pull things. It's pretty standard. Linda works hard, too, pulling all the vouchers that they look at, that they look at. And then Julie's department with payroll, they look at a lot of the payroll, and this year they're looking pretty hard at the OPEB liabilities and pension liabilities.
Okay.
And the actuarial study that we had to have done.
Have you scheduled any of us to die?
What's that?
Have they scheduled any of us to die? Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of. I think you're all pretty safe. But,
we don't get a pension anyhow.
Other than what you can read in here, we did have a meeting with the city of Sartell, Mayor DiGiovanni and the mayor, to go over, you know, some of the things that are going on with the locker system. It's not that it's not working right. It's very highly successful is the problem. It's a good problem to have, but capacity obviously still is an issue. So we talked to the city about, and the mayor also in this meeting about, you know, some things that maybe we could do. And one of the things that came out of that meeting was awareness. And so one step that Great River took was to create like a bookmark kind of thing. It's an insert that goes in that Heavenly is putting in all the books that go to the Sartell locker system to educate our patrons on how to use the system more efficiently, effectively. Picking up their stuff within 48 hours helps keep material moving, might help with the lag a little bit, you know, and also other patrons that have checked things out that are waiting on something that has been sitting in a locker for 7 days, you know, they might get it quicker, things of that nature. So it's kind of hard to gauge an impact on that. We started doing that, I believe, about a week and a half ago. Had the communications department make them for us. So we made 1,000 of them, and I don't know where she's at with it, but we're going to try to at least get through every borrower if we can. And then from there, then I suppose there'd be other discussions. But
see what happens. Yeah.
We'll see what happens with it, yes. It was at least a step forward. And also the city of Sartell is using some of the same language in, I believe, their newsletter that they send out to their residents.
Yeah, there was something in the newsletter that said that please pick up your books in 48 hours.
Okay. So because Mary asked about, you know, the language that we were going to use, and so she incorporated, I guess, some of that into the newsletter for Sartell residents, so
everybody's putting out the same message.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So we'll see if it helps. Hopefully it does.
Thank you.
Otherwise, it's going to stay highly successful with a little bit of a backlog. I mean,
with an asterisk.
With an asterisk. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any questions? Oh.
Is there any interest from Sartell about having a physical library?
I have not heard of any.
That wasn't mentioned when we met with them.
Hey. Julie, do you have anything for us?
Just summarizing again our recruitment process with the NeoGov software and HR trying to take a more active role in the recruitment process with some of the efficiencies we've gained and allowing other staff to spend time on things other than hiring. It's been working pretty well. I have met with some other counties to see how they're using it, just to get some feedback and tips as well. We have updated the calculator. We continue to use it as we have openings. But we do want to dig a little deeper this year to see if there's some updating that needs to be done in terms of what's actually in the calculator. So that's the gist. Any questions for me?
If not, moving on to the building reports. Brandy, you get to talk again? You get two acts today. Checks in the mail.
There's some really exciting stuff going on with the buildings. Cold Spring, I'm thrilled they have a plan, which I've been working with the city of Cold Spring for 9 years in this position, and this is the first time that I can say that the city has taken steps to say, on record, here's our plan, we're moving forward. They've talked about we need to move forward. And Fran, would you say something different? I just see these smiles back and forth between you two. But to me, it's just really exciting that it feels like the city has, and the Friends, it feels like there's some kind of a trajectory now that I haven't seen in a while, and so that's really exciting to me. So a new fire hall, and then they'll talk more about the library, but it's at least something.
Did you have a thought, Fran?
I always have thoughts. Yeah. But I think at this time I'll keep them to myself.
Okay. And then with Kimball, I met with the Library Building Committee on last Friday afternoon. So they're still putting things together to get the final paperwork submitted to the state. There's some pieces that still need to be done for that, but their goal is to have that done by the end of March and keep moving forward with the plan to get a project started. So they're still very, very motivated. With Howard Lake, I had a communication with Nick Hagenmiller, our city administrator, there last week. They've cleaned carpets and are doing testing again. It'll be 2 weeks for the full test to come back because they need to do cultures again. But at this point in time, Nick's feeling really optimistic. We're feeling pretty optimistic. I'm actually planning to go there with a couple of my staff on Friday to start putting some materials back in. We had pulled all DVDs and CDs out of there just to get them back into circulation. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to start putting in some duplicate copies and things like that just to so that once it is time to reopen, it's not such a big amount that we have to do, mm-hmm. but to just kind of scaffold it to make it a little easier. That and there's about 70 items that are on hold for or requested for people right now that the only copies are in Howard Lake. So we need to go in and pull those and get them out to people. So, three branches all with a lot of stuff going on, but good movement for all of them, I would say. But any questions about them?
Any questions?
So if there's an issue with the carpet, is there any plan in the future to replace, to move carpet and make some other kind of flooring so that this doesn't happen again?
You want me to speak to that?
Yeah.
So I attended the city council meeting. I don't remember what day that was. It was a Tuesday, not too long ago. And they talked about it there, but one of the issues with that building is there needs to be work done on the outside, and they're not sure, especially with the wet spring we're going to be having, that the water issues for the building have been solved. So it doesn't make sense for them to replace the carpet until they've solved the water issues in the building. But the industrial hygienist they had that presented on the issues that she found when she did her survey indicated that by doing this steam extraction process that they would get anything that was of concern.
Just a bad setup.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a hill. It's inside of a hill.
Because if you know the library's on a lower level, and then on a level, it's not above, right, directly above the library, but over
to the west of it. Yeah.
To the west, there's a community room or senior center, and there's a parking lot that goes up to that center. The library butts up against that parking lot, which is up here, and the library wall's here. Well, it's just horrible for water. It's there's
always
just nowhere for it to, it goes downhill always.
There were some design issues there.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let the rest of you know, the administrator there, Nick Hagenmuller, I told him that he can no longer hire Scooter and Gunther from Litchfield. He's got to get real contractors in there to fix these problems. And he assured me, and the rest of them assured me, that that's what they were going to do. And I believe they've been sticking to that plan, trying to get these things resolved. because I had a what I refer to as a come to Jesus meeting with them. If you want a library here, you better start acting like it, because you can't have the issues like they have there going on. It's not good for our help, our staff out there. It's not good for the material. It's not good for the patrons, you know. And it's not that old a building. There was just, I think they kind of cut a couple corners that they shouldn't have when they built it.
In addition to Jesus, have you involved the insurance company? Is there a source of
the League of Minnesota Cities has been involved with their claim.
Right.
And it sounds like paying for the industrial hygienist up until this point is under their coverage, but actually fixing the building won't be. It's more of a structural problem. Mm-hmm. It's not so much an insurance claim problem. That being said, when they did a special meeting just on the library building with the city council, and that's what I had attended, and the room was full, and the city council acknowledged that this was an important part of their community. So it's not just the city administrator, but even the council seems
how
to be very...
How old is that addition?
The building itself, I think, was constructed in the early 80s, like 81.
And then the additional part that Mike's talking about?
I think that was all part of the original.
It
was
part,
just the way it was
all
designed done. Into the hill.
Too late
they're also
going to
put the city hall there, but then they decided not to put the city hall there and buy an old bank downtown. And I think there was cost overruns and issues, so they just started. The story goes: Scooter and Gunther from Litchfield, two guys from the bar stool here, come fix us. Can't have that. You got to be
city
doing
hall
right.
Should have gone down there, and library should have gone in the old bank.
I won't disagree with you on that, but
anyway, the point is that the construction is sufficiently dated that you can't do a clawback on insurance liability.
No.
All right. I'm not familiar with the building, so I'm depending on you, Dan.
Believe me, it's.
Oh, before we leave building reports, too, since Waite Park is mentioned with their frozen pipe, I should also mentioned that last week we had to close Big Lake for 2 days because the pipe under the parking lot for the sewer line froze again and was actually backing up into the bathrooms. Oof. That's not the first time that's happened, but it usually happens when we have winters like this
like
one.
This.
So the city is aware, and they called Roto-Rooter, but it was about the same time everybody else was, so
yeah.
It took a couple of days for them to get out there again.
That happened last year, too, wasn't it, last year?
I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but, yeah, it's not the first time that's happened.
Scooter and Gunner don't do sewers, evidently?
They don't go that far.
Oh, they don't go that far.
They're based out of Litchfield.
I didn't know they were from Litchfield either, right?
That is for the building report?
That's it for building.
Okay. Move on. Committee reports, finance report. I suppose I get to do that, huh?
Yeah, you didn't appoint anybody.
We came, we met, we decided, we adjourned. Okay. Basically, it was about the designation of the letter of credit, and Aaron went through that. How we went from the $250,000 FDIC limit, and the other $150,000 come from a letter of credit, and that's to keep our cash flow better. It's a safer, in a very inexpensive way to keep the cash flow going. And then we talked on the next one was the patron service lending policy revision. And I'll have Karen explain that a little bit to Brett to make it sure I'm not missing something.
Sure. This is a pretty big change. And even though it's a patron services policy, we felt like we needed to talk about it with the finance committee first because it does have a financial impact. So going back to fines forgiveness, we were pretty successful with fines forgiveness back in September, but we weren't really sure how we wanted to approach that issue going forward. We took a look at what made sense with the leadership team, so our recommendation was to eliminate fines on juvenile and young adult materials going forward. The risk we see at most is about $45,000 worth of revenue from our fines line, but we're not guaranteed we would receive that from 1 year to the next anyway. So we looked at a couple of different ways that we could reduce fines for patrons, and it seemed like this was the one that would get us closest to our mission, which is getting books in the hands of kids and improving access for kids, especially if they have transportation issues getting to the library. We would continue to bill for lost materials, so if items were 45 days late or, and never came back, they would still go through our normal collection processes. And that's the high-level overview. If you have deeper-level questions, I can go into more reasons why.
It's one of those things that we, you know, to get the youth to get them there so they're not afraid to come to the library because they might owe a buck or something. Mm-hmm. It's worth trying, and after a while, if we decide it doesn't make any sense, we can always revert back.
Mr. Chair, so would that be on books that the kids get on their library card? Or because a lot of times it's the parents who are getting books for the kids.
We talked about doing that, and we decided that was just too hard to implement. Partly because it's hard to explain to staff, and partly because it's hard to explain to patrons. And what would happen is parents would just get more kids for their cards for their kids and then use their kids' cards. So we thought just to keep things simple, we will just say no fines on kids' materials.
On the parents, even if
it doesn't matter whose card they're on. We would also then be extending Read Down Your Fines program to everyone, because there'll be fewer kids with fines, but for those higher level readers who are reading from the adult collection, they would still have an option to reduce those fines on their accounts. But then we would also extend that to adults, since the fund development revenue has been shifted to support that program all the time anyway. So
I think that's a very smart move. Yeah.
We have nothing to lose by trying it.
Are we gonna advertise it?
We will. We're hoping to do a June 1st implementation. I mean, it's gonna take a lot to make that happen because the first thing that has to happen is the young adult collection has to be moved out of the juvenile, or the adult, the young adult books need to be moved into the juvenile collection as the first step. So behind the scenes in the computer, things have to happen. And then we have to communicate with staff and then roll it out to patrons. So it'll be a little bit, but we expect a bigger splash like we did with Fines Forgiveness. And that'll be just in time for summer reading program then.
So you'll have it done by tomorrow at 9 a.m.?
You know, people are pretty excited about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if things were rolling before I get back from LibTech.
Essentially, you would still they would still get the reminder email after 6 weeks that, you know, they're supposed to be reading their books.
They'd probably still get the pre-overdue, too, when their item's overdue for 3 days, that it's still out.
Okay.
It's just they wouldn't actually get a bill as long as the book came back within 45 days.
Thought it was a good thing to explore and check out.
Interesting to see how it pans out. I mean, does it make them become more careless? Right. Or you would think that we would have more people read because they're not worried about the fines?
We hope so. We hope it's and other libraries that have gone completely fine-free are just seeing more people come back to the library and not as much impact on the collection as what people had feared.
Well, any other questions on that? Okay, the next item we discussed was the base budget proposal for 2020. And the background information, the base budget that we got here yields a 1.18 overall decrease or a $110,878 increase from 2019 with some major changes. And keep in mind, there's some revenue increases here and a couple decreases in expenditure increases and decreases. Balance out. This does not include any major assumptions in compliance. There's no general wage increase or movement within range, anything that payroll reserves are not used to offset any operating costs on this particular budget. I know this is what we've been working towards trying to get this down. Our smaller counties are trying to keep the line on the budgets kind of tight here. A couple of years ago, most of you remember we increased the IT end of it. And we did a few things to help be more efficient, and I think we've achieved that in a lot of cases. And it's just a matter of trying to keep this budget as flat as possible to be more sensitive to budgetary impacts like Wright County and like the rest of you that have other pressures on in other areas of your budgets. Anybody hear about out-of-home placement? Any questions on baseline budget proposal? And there'll be more discussion on that. On the next meeting?
April, the Finance Committee will be considering the department budget requests, mm-hmm. and then the preliminary budget will be put together in May.
May. Any other questions, you can go offline and discuss it or get the information you need.
Yep. We'll have a closed session later, too.
Okay.
To talk wages.
With that, that's an action item. Entertain a motion to accept the financial committee's report.
So moved.
Motion by Lee, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mary. Okay, any discussion? Hang on, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye, thank you. Next, we have the personnel committee meeting. And the today we had a very cheap imitation of Wayne chairing this.
Better.
Well, it's a cheap imitation. There's no way I can keep up to your standards here.
Boy, you must be on medication.
Yeah. So basically, this one we were to elect a chair, but Wayne has some work things that'll prevent him from
with work that prevent me from getting here before 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and it's just hard for him to.
Yeah.
To do that. And then the next item there, we'll have to discuss that a little later in the program here. The next thing is the personnel policy revisions. And I will again let Karen kind of go to a quick overview of this just to make sure, sure I don't miss something.
So if you look in the personnel packet, there was a summary put together of those policy changes. The major one was a revision to our PTO donation policy. And that policy change is to put us more in line with IRS regulations. Currently, we collect PTO from people when we have an individual request PTO donation, and that requires us to pay tax in both on the individual and the donor. And so this would create a pool for people to donate to, and then individuals who have a need would request from the pool. So it removes some of the taxation on one side of it. And if I missed anything there, Julie, you can
There's a few other items in there, and most of them are just to match current guidelines. Some of them were 19 years old, most of them are 10 years old, to match IRS, to match current laws, statutes, everything on the book to try to, and a lot of it, most of it I got there was a lot of cleanup language, which makes it real clear. Before it was kind of a little bit muddy to me to, what do you mean by this? But it's just these things that happen every so often that you have to revisit certain policy positions that are maybe have aged too much. So that's what we talked about there, and most of these are just, like say, cleanup items, nothing real major earth-shattering. The PTO was to match IRS and that. And with that, I'll entertain a motion to approve the personnel committee report.
So moved.
Dan? Motion by Dan. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ed. Thank you. Further discussion?
I'd like to say, I have a comment.
Okay.
I'd like to thank Mr. Chair for making it one of the shortest meetings we've ever had for the personnel meeting.
The caffeine's kicking in.
And the, to note the time of the meetings next time that we get together, because it kind of flip-flopped for personnel and financial. And Mr. Chair's 3-for-3 meetings tonight.
Yeah, so I'm sitting up here because the chair and the vice chair are both gone. And we don't want Dave. We didn't know if he could stay awake for the whole meeting or not. I mean, he's relaxed over there. Okay.
Gosh.
Might move faster, though. I think you're still concealed and carry, aren't you?
After tonight, he will be.
He can conceal and carry, and I cannot outrun his bullet. Okay, we voted on that?
Still got the board discussion.
Nope.
Ask Patty.
What?
We haven't voted.
No, you have a question, okay? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Fund Development Committee, that's not
me. I didn't ask any of the committee members if they wanted to do the report.
Are we going to do the chair or not?
That'll be later.
Later?
In the agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I will just give a brief report. Fund Development Committee met February 11th. We approved donor acknowledgement levels, and they are now on the Fund Development page. If you go online, I believe you can find it on our public page. We had a donor appreciation breakfast last Thursday. We had 7 major donors show up, some from the Kimball area, some from the Great Eagle area, so it wasn't just St. Cloud folks. And they were very appreciative. And one woman brought her husband with, who was just kind of along for the ride, but in the end signed up for a library card that weekend because he realized that having a library card mattered for his library. So it was great. It was a great experience. And we also adjusted our goals slightly because we did not have any dollars assigned to major individual donors. Even though we had goals about achieving major individual donations, we hadn't actually tracked major individual donations. So we split that out from our annual appeal because it really should be treated as a separate campaign or program. And so our goals were adjusted based on that, using the fund development plan. So I don't know if we, Mary or Jane, if there was anything else you remember from that meeting that was a while ago.
I don't remember. Just to back up, what did we actually achieve for the annual appeal this year? Or
I want to say the total was $55,000, but that included major donations. Let me pull up.
And thank you, Dave.
Yep, thanks.
Dave. Thanks, Dave.
I'll be waiting in the car.
So, annual appeal brought in $45,250 without major donors, and major donations total for the year was $14,000. So, we exceeded in the major donations category, but didn't quite achieve in the annual appeal category, but we hadn't split out the donations quite that way. So knowing we want to increase the number of gifts in the major category, I think it does make sense to split that out.
So with a separate plan beginning this year.
Right, okay. Which was the donor breakfast was the first step there. And we did extend an invitation to the people who attended and to see if they might be interested in the fund development committee. We haven't heard anything back yet, but it was a soft sell.
Okay. Well, thank you.
No action required on that, just information only.
Yep.
Okay, and unfinished business, we already had the update with Howard Lake.
Right.
We kind of know what's going on there. Next item is a board member job description review, page 31.
This is marked as something we look at every year. So if you see anything you would like changed, we can bring it back for approval. It's provided for your information.
Okay, and then moving on to 12.2, trustee bylaw review. Again, same situation.
I think at some point we'll probably want to build the fund development committee into the bylaws and a structure around it, but it's still fairly new and we haven't submitted the 501c3 application yet. So I think once that process is done and once we actually have donors on the committee, that's probably the point where we would make that more formal. I didn't
the
have any.
I'm sorry, the 501c3 after the audit
right.
is completed.
Yep, I talked to Aaron about it last week, and he's got most of the work because it involves pulling 5 years worth of financial data. Mm-hmm. So,
a little busy this
audit.
Week.
Yep.
I hope she waits till next week, at least.
Or the week after. Thank you. The next one is the 12.3, which is policy revisions.
This is a, it looks like a major overhaul, partly because there was so much redundant language among our policies. So what we tried to achieve was put them all in the same outline format, because we had some without an outline, some in Roman numerals, some with numbers. So they've all been put into the same numerical format as personnel. And then we eliminated duplicate policies. For example, we had two policies about the disposal of equipment. So we got rid of that. There was no real substantive changes in the administrative policies. The summary for those are on page 45. The patron services policies are, the summary for those are on page 75. The lending policy was already approved through the finance committee. The other two substantive changes in this area are a change to our $0 fines threshold. While back we had moved from a $6 threshold to you have to pay everything on your library account in order to use your account. But over time, we've had to make adjustments because our self-checks didn't quite work that way. The digital library, it created some issues. So we've moved that to $1 to make things more consistent with a threshold. And then Brandy and her team have put together a proposal to change how we would do library card registration and add an e-card option. And I think Brandy can probably speak better to that particular change, because that's probably the biggest change in the whole packet.
Sure. So we've received multiple requests over the years from people who want to be patrons, who want to be able to register for a library card online, and want to be able to just access digital resources as well. We also do things like registration through schools, university stuff, workforce centers, things like that, where we have partners that we do special sort of library card drives, where being able to do an online registration would just be a lot easier. So both of those things together creates a real desire from borrowers and community users to have that online registration. However, once you go to that, we want to make sure, as the public services team, that we're providing good public service, which means we're not telling people, go ahead and sign up today, and in a couple business days we'll review it and you'll have an account. We want to be able to give people something right away, which means we have to shift how we do that piece about identifying them as being located within Great Rivers service area. So right now, if an adult patron comes into a physical library to sign up for a physical card, we look at their ID, we verify you are this person and you live here at this address. And we do that so that we meet policy in that verifying both identity and address. When we shift to online, obviously they're not there and we can't do that anymore. And so what we would like to do is basically use technology to verify that the address that they are presenting in their application, that address is within our service area, but we're not verifying their identity. However, at that point, they will just have e-access, so they'll be able to access our digital collection and different things like that. If they want to actually check out a physical item, the person would have to come to a facility and show their ID, and at that point, then we can verify identity and address, and at that point, it can be upgraded to a regular account instead of an e-account. So that's really the change, is allowing us to not have to always verify identity and verify address. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. You're meeting them halfway.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And having that e-card or e-digital access and immediate digital access is our goal. So you sign up for it, you press submit, and you have a temporary barcode you can go in and you can use for digital downloads and things like that.
Okay, any other questions, concerns? This is, again, another policy revision housekeeping items. I'll entertain a motion to approve the revisions.
So moved. I'll second.
Okay, motion by Jeff, second by Lee.
Which one did we just do?
All policy revisions.
All of them.
Yeah. Further discussion, Mary?
No, thank you.
Maybe next time?
Hold the thought.
Okay.
What?
Hold the thought.
Okay. You know, this short discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Okay. And then personnel policy, or personnel committee. This is where we were.
Yeah, the next one we'll move on to, this is the personnel committee chair.
And appointment to the committee.
And appointment to the committee. Because Wayne has work issues that are interfering with his ability to be here on time.
I'll move Jane be chair of the personnel committee.
I was thinking Dave also. Since
well,
he
he's
left
not
early.
Here, so make him vice chair. Okay, Jane, any other nominations?
How does Wright County operate if Wayne is not going to be around anymore? Does the board take that up or what? Your county board? He's from Wright County.
Yeah. He's still,
and he's
still
leaving.
He's just leaving just the
personnel.
For the one who's going to tell the.
So Lee, we had Jim Shovlin turn
him off. Yeah, where's that mayor of Wright when we need him?
It took us a long time to find somebody to get. Melissa Fee will be here next month. And I think since we need another one on the personnel policy committee, it'd be good for her to be on that too. You know, because that we could take care of that at the same time.
Okay.
So are there any other nominations for chair for the personnel? Choo-choo. Fane keeps rolling. Did anybody second that motion?
No one did, I don't think.
Who did?
No one did.
No one did? Okay, well, we got
Dan just did.
I will second.
Dan just did, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, any other nominations?
Easy out.
Any other nominations? Third and final time. Close nominations. All those in favor of having Jane as the chair, if I say an aye?
Aye.
Congratulations, hard-fought contest.
Thank you.
Hard to do. And then the part of the, on the personnel committee there, the other one will have Melissa Fee, would replace Wayne on there.
Should we make that a motion?
Yes, we should.
So move.
Okay. Motion, second by Lee. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations, Melissa, another hard-fought victory. Okay, next we're going to go, before we go to closed session, we're going to do the open board forum. And we'll start with Mary.
I have nothing except CMLE meets next week. And Elk River Library Board meets next week also. So that's it.
Yep, I have nothing.
Spring has sprung, hopefully.
Yes. Spring along with some leaks here and there, huh?
Okay, now the Caitlin?
Carlin.
Carlin. Excuse me, I can't quite get it. Anyway, last time Mary wanted to know more about you, so I guess this is your turn to shine.
Elevator speech.
Tell us a story, make it good, we don't care if it's true.
There was no prep for this. I just I think I gave my elevator speech kind of when I came on.
Yeah.
From Cold Spring, I'm a historian by training. You might not know because I don't mention it too much, but I published a book that's called Why the Vote Isn't Enough for Selma, which one of my proudest moments was when I searched the Great River Library collection, and there it was. So that was very exciting. And otherwise, I work out at St. John's in the Academic Affairs Office. Longtime library lover and supporter, and still very excited to be on the board, trying to figure out how this all works. I understand that it's very easy to all of a sudden become the chair. happens.
Well, it's a little bit more loose, comical today because I'm sitting up here. Usually it's really structured and serious.
Yeah, I've noticed that so far. There's definitely a different tone today than the past times.
The medication.
Different tone today. Well, thank you and welcome aboard.
He's from the east side.
Jane, anything?
I'm just really glad that Carlin came back to another meeting. The meeting was a little interesting, I think. So, yeah, I'm glad you came back.
So she's got a fan club. Great. I don't have one of those. And Dave, he's waiting for me out in the parking lot with Seal and Carrie. Yeah. Dave. Wait, anything for us?
Telling Lee, I seen on the local news, Emilio Estevez, actor, they're shooting some scenes at one of the, I think, Hennepin County libraries for an upcoming movie on how some homeless people took over the library in Cincinnati. And
It's the movie The Public. Yep, yeah. The Public. It should be released April 5th.
So. Any words of wisdom for us today, Lee?
No.
Okay.
I'll just share quickly. Last month, I shared a bunch of articles with Karen. We go to Fort Myers Beach every year. And when we got down there, we didn't realize exactly what had happened. We walked by the library all the time. and there was a bunch of flowers and everything. Well, fast forward, found out that the director was murdered by a homeless person.
Oh, no.
They have security issues there as well. And immediately I saw the name, never made the connection. And, of course, all week long, everyone was talking about it, and it was in the paper every day and everything else. Well, he was a guy from St. Nicholas, Minnesota, Humberdink, who is married to one of my cousins, a sister is married to him. We walked by that library for 20 years, and I never knew that he was the director. But on a Sunday morning, they open up for a book sale, and he was just deeply involved in this library. And the homeless person obviously was watching and knowing he'd be there and just rushed in and stabbed him to death. So security is an issue, just not in our library, but, you know, Fort Myers Beach. I've never even seen homeless people in Fort Myers Beach. And, of course, ironically, what Wayne just said, evidently that's an issue across the country based on all these stories that we've read. But it's more importantly, the reason I bring it up is it's something not to take for granted. I mean, security is an issue, not staff. Just for the patrons, but certainly for the staff.
Okay. Yeah.
And the reason for it was because he said he felt directed, mistreated by the director. The director at one point had removed this person because of what they were doing. And so he harbored that and had some other issues. But that's why he did what he did. So I shared those articles, and neither here nor there. But the irony of it was that it's a Stearns County guy, and his mother and father just passed away not that long ago, and thank God they have passed, because it would be a heck of a thing to go through with your child. But library security obviously is a serious issue, and thank goodness we are doing what we are doing with the security committee and other things to take it serious. So
we have a duty to make sure our staff is protected when they're at work here, you know, reasonably, not armed guards all over the place, but reasonable steps to ensure that they can come into work without having to worry about their fearing for their life. And that's a sad story down there. That's just.
Speaking of that, Karen, do we have panic buttons here?
We do have some in this building. Yep.
But not in other locations?
Well, I can't speak for all of them.
I doubt it. I don't think so.
And I would be hard-pressed to answer specific questions like that in a public forum, because when we did the St. Cloud Times article last year, there was some concerns about the detail shared in a public forum about our practices from the staff. So if you have specific questions about how we do things in our buildings, I'd be happy to talk about that offline.
Zuria, before you got here, I used to be a Johnny One Note on security, but I think I got something done. Jeez, we got to shut that old guy up. So they did stuff.
Always sad to hear news like that, though.
Well, it kind of reaffirms what we're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes we wonder, do we need to go to the lengths that we've gone? I think the answer is yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've done the right thing.
And more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Leave it to Beaver doesn't exist anymore.
Nope.
Fred.
I feel secure because Karen carries a Lady Smith and Wesson, so I'm in good shape. So.
That's right.
We thought you were sitting on something.
Oh, I think I've said enough already this meeting.
Okay. Ed, is there a civic group like Kiwanis or something like that, or Chamber and Rice?
They have a Lions group.
The Lions group, I think, is about the only thing.
Okay, still, that would be enough.
And they've got a ton of money.
Okay.
They do gambling or something.
Yeah, they have charitable gambling, like big time.
Okay. So hell of a deal. There's your source.
Yeah, we'll have to. So we're going to do a closed session yet. And no Frank.
He does have Frank a lot.
Okay.
And they have no women in their libraries.
Going closed session now?
Yeah. Well, we'll have to follow Patty's checklist here.
Two.
She's
the
got it all
laid
out.
And the rice lines.
So,
I need to say what's highlighted in yellow.
Whatever it is.
Yep.
The region that don't come. And they come.
We're close to me, but you, and you, get out.
Every year they come.
Well,
I'm in the Royalton Lions.
They really can't excuse. exclude them anymore.
Good luck with the.
This first part has to be an open session. We need to close the meeting and then have a motion to close.
The record, okay.
Took him to the side and they says, Dale.
For the record, we're closing the meeting to discuss the labor negotiation strategies pursuant to Minnesota State Statute 13D.03. I need a motion and a second. Majority vote to close the meeting.
Aye.
Need a motion.
Motion.
I'll move.
So moved.
Second.
Jeff and Zuria.
Say that again.
Jeff and Zuria.
Jeff and Jeff, okay. And we need a majority for the meeting. All those in favor signify saying aye.
Aye.
Well, thank you. Okay, we come out of closed session at 8 p.m., excuse me. 8 p.m. here. And our next meeting is April 16th, Board of Trustees of Work Session. And being no further business before the board, we are adjourned at 8:01.